All right, turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. And as we know, we are continuing in our series on church health, and we want to be a healthy church. And often when we hear that phrase, a healthy church, we think of something that is not. Or we think it's someone else's responsibility, and we want to be reminded once again tonight that it's our responsibility individually. I will say the church isn't the building, and it's certainly not. It's the people. Well, then if a church is going to be healthy, the people have got to be spiritually healthy. And I trust that each week we are getting help from this series. And I think tonight is very practical, but I think it would be very helpful to remind us of some things. In Ephesians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 11, and we're going to read down through verse number 16. Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 11. You follow along as I read aloud. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Who is the sum? The sum is talking about the church, the local church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture, and a series can be preached from these verses here. But tonight we want to look at this subject, growing up in Christ. Growing up in Christ. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you once again, grateful for your word, grateful for what it means to us, what it does for us. And Father, may we be reminded of some wonderful truths tonight, some responsibilities on our part. And I pray that we would just continue to have the mindset to grow individually, so that we can be a good part, be a part of a healthy church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few practical things to just remind us of and kind of set a foundation. We talk about a healthy church. It's not just a gathering of believers, but it's where those believers can grow spiritually. It's a great thing to have a place that we meet. It's a great thing to have the fellowship that we were a part of before the service started, and it's important that we have a place to meet. But more importantly than that is we're not just meeting, but we're meeting in a place, meaning the church, and it conducts itself in a way that those who attend can grow spiritually. I don't want to have the most popular church. I don't want to have the wealthiest church. We can name all of those superlatives. What I want to have is a church where we can grow. Where we can grow spiritually, where you feel like when you leave, you feel like you got something that can help, that got you a little bit closer to the Lord. Whether you were convicted by something, or that you were showed a truth from God's Word that helps you do that, but it's a place where we can grow spiritually. In order to do that, we must understand, in order to be a healthy church, we need to understand something. There's a difference between life and just growth. And let me say it like this, the difference between life and growth is health. Let me illustrate this. One of the clearest signs of life is growth. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm confused. There's a difference between life and growth is health. If something is growing, you can look at it and determine it is living. For example, when a child is born, when a baby is born, everyone celebrates life. But if that baby never grows, doctors become alarmed. Because a lack of growth is a sign that something is wrong, something is not right. The same is true spiritually. A lot of times we say that church is full of life, and what we mean is it's full of activity. Or we'll say that church is alive, and what we're looking at is just their attendance. We say, oh, that church is alive and there's so much. I felt so alive there. What we're talking about is the programs or certain events. But if believers are not growing in Christ, something is unhealthy. That's why we must always keep our priority on the Word of God and what God wants in His church so that we can grow. The difference in life and growth is health. God did not save you to just attend church. He saved us so that we might be transformed. Healthy churches are producing spiritually mature believers, not just busy members. I want you to serve because it'll do you good. It does the church good. But more than that, that's a way you grow spiritually. You mature spiritually. Well, I'm busy at church. That's fine to be busy. But are you serving? Are you growing? Are you becoming a spiritually mature? And when I say this, sometimes we let that go to our head. I've been in church for 32 years. I'm spiritually mature. Well, you could be in church 100 years and still not be spiritually mature. There's a difference in life and growth, and it's health. And so we need to understand this. He saved us to grow. And let me say this. If you're busy, you have an opportunity to grow if you're serving. If you're growing, you're going to be serving. So let me give you the 32-point outline tonight. I got through that introduction fast, didn't I, compared to last week's. Number one, a healthy church understands God's design for growth. If we are going to grow, and you've heard me say this more than one time, I don't just want us to grow numerically, I want us to grow spiritually. I want you to grow as a Christian. In order for that to happen, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to understand how God has designed it. And a healthy church understands what God's design is. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Four. Why did he do that? Why do you have a pastor? Which I believe he's the pastor and the teacher. Why did God gift? And I like to remind you this. God's talking about the gifts he gives the church. So I'm God's gift to you. That wasn't a joke. I don't know why you're laughing. But why did he do that? It's right there in verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we must understand is God designed the church with a clear purpose. In this context, in this scripture, it is for the perfecting of the saints. Now, if you're not familiar with that word perfecting, some of you say, I don't see any perfecting going on here. Let's define perfecting. It means equipping. It means maturing. It means preparing, strengthening. This is the design, why he designed the church. Now, let me ask you a question. If there's no spiritual pressure, are you going to grow? Typically not. Iron sharpeneth iron. We get together with a purpose to do something for God. It means we all have to be a part of that. The teaching of the Word of God, the leadership the pastor provides, is to make sure that the saints are being perfected, are being equipped. We're maturing. See, the church exists to not be a social club. It doesn't even exist to... By nature, if it's healthy, it affects the blessings of a nation. But we don't do what we do in order to affect the nation. Does that make sense? We are doing what we do as a church because we want to be like Christ. And the more I'm like Christ, the greater effect, the greater light I am in this world. But the church exists to train believers. The church was never intended for social change. It's not. Now, if we mature spiritually, we can change society. You know, They say, well, those old-fashioned churches. They say it like it's a bad thing. Those old-fashioned churches. Can you get more old-fashioned than the apostles? They would look at us as a bunch of liberals, compromisers. They go into a city and it's like, you're going to put me in jail or kill me because we're going to be so on fire, so many people are going to get saved. It's going to shut down all of the system because the revival's breaking out, or everybody, there's going to be a revival breaking out. They were a little old-fashioned. What was the point? They affected, and even it's said in the book of Acts, they turned the world upside down. It says they everybody filled Jerusalem with the doctrine. Do you think that had an effect politically? Absolutely it did. But they didn't set out to have an effect politically. They set out to fill Jerusalem with the doctrine and tell everybody they knew. And so it's not designed for social change. Train believers, disciple believers, strengthen believers, and then prepare believers for ministry. See, a healthy church does not exist just to have a service three times a week. And there's some today say, well, we only need it one day a week. And for what you're trying to accomplish, that might be true. But we're trying to affect the city. You know, I try to be as an effective communicator and preacher of God's Word as I possibly can, but there's only so much that I can say in one Sunday morning. Is that really going to prepare us for what we're trying to accomplish? I mean, I think you're wonderful people, but I know people well enough to know even this crowd needs preaching out more than once a week. Why? Because we're trying to be equipped to not just say that we're a believer in our social media bio. We're trying to be equipped and discipled to serve. That's why we want our Sunday school classes the way they are. That's why we have the program where we're not trying to just rear our young people just to be out there. We're trying to train and mold servants of God. We want our couples and our families to be, yes, examples and enjoy the blessings of God. But it takes more than just they flip it, we have a service. And believe it or not, there's a reason why we do the things we do in our services. There's a reason why we have the songs that we have. There's even a reason why we have the order that we have. There's even a reason why we have the temperature that we have. It's because that's the way I like it. We don't exist just to host a service. We're existing because we want to grow as a disciple of Christ. And let me just say this in the world we live in, just to remind us, it takes more to be a disciple of Christ than just wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm a disciple of Christ. I've never seen some who say they're a disciple of Christ. I'm like, whenever it's like, where's your cross? What do you mean? The fact that you don't get what I'm saying, because my Bible tells me that if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you got to pick up your cross. You know, we're growing, we're becoming. Number two, a healthy church understands that every believer should be growing. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. What's the goal? We're trying to become what? Unto a perfect or a complete, a mature man. Unto the measure. What's the measure? Well, we're trying to live up to the pastor, if it were only that. Oh, that old saint who's been saved for 150 years, we're trying to measure. No, if it was only that. Measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come. Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. What's that have to do with it? Or I had some kind of a tragedy. What's that have to do with it? Or I was treated unfairly. What does that have to do with anything? The church is designed for us all to be growing. It doesn't say we all arrive at the same time. It doesn't say we all have the same spiritual gifts. It doesn't say we even all have the same foundation. It just says we're all to be growing, because let's be honest, nobody's going to reach the complete measure of the stature of Christ. So until we die or until Jesus comes back, we should be growing more and more like Him. So if somebody is reared in a Christian home, and by the way, I've seen some of them, that doesn't help, but they rear in a Christian home and they may start there. Somebody not reared in a Christian home, they get saved, they may start there. Both can grow. That's the way it's supposed to be, and a healthy church understands that. Your pastor is less concerned with the social aspect. He's less concerned with what society thinks. He's less concerned with the activity schedule than he is. Are the people growing? Are they growing? And it always want to put it in a situation where there is growth. Notice it says, till we all come. Spiritual growth. Don't you want a pastor that's growing? I want to grow as a pastor. I like to think I've grown since I first became pastor. Now, some of you might not think that, but you should have seen how bad it was back then. It's not just for missionaries. Well, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher. I'd have to be growing. Well, I'll get to that in a second. It's for everybody. And by the way, if you're not willing to step forward and serve because you know it requires growth, shame on you. And I don't want to be more like Jesus. That's what we're saying. I don't want to be more like Him. And we do hold a false standard sometimes. We compare ourselves to one another. And the Bible warns us about that. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. But the truth of the matter is, you don't know who the best Christian is. There might be some in this church that don't check certain boxes that you think ought to be checked, but they may be a better Christian than you are, and you check them all. That's just the reality of it. So what should we do? You know, the standard that never moves is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to be growing, and a healthy church understands every member. Say, so, Pastor, what expectations do you have for that young man that grew up in a good Christian home and is reared underneath your ministry and surrendered when they were young? And what expectation do you have of them? The same expectation as I do the person that just got saved out of the most despicable sins in the world and just got into church and cleaned up. I have the same expectation. What is that? Grow. Grow. See, healthy churches and every believer, let me say this, every believer should be growing toward Christ-likeness. Here's a question that's universal for every Christian. Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? Do you want tomorrow to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you were today? You know, when we break it down to that, we have to throw out all the excuses. The pastor was mean to me, or this person did this, or they knew I was going to sit in that seat. Whatever the silly thing is that we use, I'm supposed to be becoming more like Christ. We want the entire church moving toward that. See, healthy churches don't just have a few spiritually mature people doing all the work. Because when that happens, there's just a crowd of stagnant believers. You know, if you're new in Florida and there's a lot of places to swim, don't swim in a body of water that's stagnant. There's things in it and under it. Who wants stagnant? You know, it can't just be, well, I'm glad we got a pastor that likes to work, and I'm glad we got a Sunday school teacher that does this, and I'm glad these people are willing to do that. Can you imagine how much better it would be if you did it too? Nobody expects you to do what I do. I'm the pastor. But what are you doing? Everybody can do something. Well, I haven't found my place of service yet. You know what you can do? You can show up and smile. You can save a seat for somebody. You can say hello. You can pray for somebody. And if you hang around long enough, I promise you, we'll find you something you can do. But when we're serving, we are growing. And so for a healthy church to have us, and the average is, and we're way above average, but the average quote-unquote church is you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. And that's not the way it should be. Now, this church isn't that way. You say, well, every place of service is full. If that were true, and I would say, ladies, Liz Replogo would beg to differ, because we always need nursery workers. If that were true, won't you create a problem for me? Why don't you just start telling people about Jesus, finding something else to do, and we can create another ministry? No, Pastor, not another ministry. We've got too many ministries. You get the point I'm making? You mean everybody in your section has been spoken to? So what are you talking about? You know, it's a wonderful ministry just to greet people. Be nice. Hey, glad to see you. That's a wonderful thing. And I see it was that way tonight on Sunday mornings. We're a little more organized and on purpose. You walk in and you know, we've done some things to make sure that we have people welcoming. You come in and you see two men here in the aisle. I avoid them completely and try and move around. They're there to welcome. But then there's people, they have not been designated. They're not in charge of a section. They're just going around talking to people. They're saying hello. What's your name? First time? Been here 4 years. Oh, well, I haven't met you yet. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Growth should be visible. So how can we grow? The entire church should be moving toward maturity, spiritual maturity. Growth should be visible in knowledge of Scripture. The Sunday school lesson this coming week is on not just having knowledge, basically it's on not just having knowledge, but application. But you're supposed to be growing in your knowledge. If you just hang around the church, if you're just here when the doors are open, you will gain in your knowledge of Scripture. But you can read your Bible, and God will teach you, God will instruct you, but it's a proven fact from the Scripture and from experience. You will increase your knowledge when you are in the church and you are on board with the program. Consistency in prayer. Getting consistent in your prayer life is one of the most difficult things for Christians to get in the habit of doing. This is why, and this is not just a plug for you to go by. Well, that's why some of you need to get those journals, and you need to live in those journals. You know why? Because it gives you that discipline every day. And we fall in this trap of, I got to pray for every missionary in the world and every... No, that's why we pray without ceasing. We can pray anytime about anything. Men, you ought to be there and say, well, I want to grow in my prayer life. Commit to be in the men's prayer meeting every Monday night. Well, if I commit, that means you got to show up. So that's why I said commit. If you're able to commit, if you can be there. If not, that, you know, if you say, Pastor, I can't be there on Monday night, but me and Brother So-and-so and Brother So-and-so, we can do it on Wednesday morning. Guess what? There's nothing in the Bible that keeps us from starting another prayer meeting. That's the point I make. Well, everything, I don't have any opportunities. We can create them. Growth should be visible in faithfulness and service. Brother Willie, did you buy all those books? He's like, no.
How long have you been ushering? 27 years? Man, we need new ushers. Faithfulness and service. You think it's helped you grow as a Christian, being that usher? That's visible. Now, you can not be an usher and you can be growing because it's what God's doing on the outside, but when you're serving faithfully, it's obvious there's some growth. Have you always wanted to usher? Every Sunday, are you like, man, I can't wait to stand out in that 110 degree heat? Amen. Amen. That's obvious growth. I didn't know you were going to preach at me. I just. Oh, but that's good. Growth should be visible in victory over sin. Love for others. Spiritual discernment. That we understand that every believer should be growing. You aren't the exception. If you want a church to the coast, this is not the church. And if it was a scriptural church, you wouldn't be able to coast there either. Every member is supposed to grow. Number three, a healthy church protects believers from spiritual instability. A healthy church protects believers from spiritual instability. I wish I had more time, but I want to get through this whole tonight. But look at verse 14. We're building. We have the gifts to the church, the purpose of the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into unity. Verse 14, that we henceforth. Why did God do all of this? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm getting ahead of myself, but God doesn't want you to be deceived like a child. You can convince a child of almost anything. You know, you can convince those children the Dolphins will win the Super Bowl this year, I promise you, and they'll believe you. Almost said Gators, but I've been picking on you a lot the last several years. But that spiritual instability. See, when we are spiritually immature, we are unstable. And it's a nature of not having that spiritual immaturity. The more you study the Bible and know the Bible, the less you're going to be deceived. It just makes sense. See, immature believers are easily influenced. Pastor, why Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and midweek service? Because we have to get the Bible in us. We have to be growing, becoming. And we become more like Him. We become more stable in our Christian life. See, immature believers are easily influenced by false doctrine. You're easily influenced by emotional manipulation. There's a lot of political stuff with that. There's a lot of Facebook drama with that. Cultural pressure. Well, we're just, to grow means we're going to be swimming upstream with society. We'll swim. Here's a good one. Immature believers are easily influenced by internet theology. Charismatic personalities. Can I tell you what none of those are? None of those are your pastor. You, according to the Word of God, and let me just say this, when the Spirit of God moved on the Apostle Paul and he penned these words, to the church at Ephesus, and then God in His power and His foresight preserved those inspired scriptures. He knew social media would exist. He knew the internet would exist. He knew YouTube would exist. He knew all those things would exist. And He still, within the confines of the local church, said, I gave you a pastor and a teacher. Well, I was listening to this. Why? Well, I want to make sure my pastors... Well, if you don't trust it, check me with the Bible, not with some Yahoo on YouTube. I don't have a problem with you lining up my words to the book of Ephesians, to the book of John, to the book of Revelation, the book of Romans. I've got no problem with that. In fact, you're supposed to be doing that. But to say, well, I heard this guy say, I want to say, so? And this is why I'm hard on this. Because it creates spiritual instability. It's not what God gave you. That person where you were enlightened by, how much have they prayed for you? Where were they when you called the pastor and said, could you come to the hospital? Were they standing at the head of the casket? And when I say these spiritual theologians, it's not just these professional spiritual theologians, it's the backslidden carnal Christian who thinks they're a theologian. Well, let me tell you why your pastor is wrong. God gave you a pastor. And the reason why we want to be healthy is we want to protect believers from spiritual instability. It's one reason why I got convicted to write books is because books are influential. And say, well, if I'm not supposed to read that, what am I supposed to read? And then now I write a bunch of books and you don't read my books. The point being is those immature believers are easily influenced. Paul describes them as being tossed to and fro. Do I believe this? Do I believe this? And a lot of it's out of sincerity, but it's out of sincere ignorance, the lack of knowledge. What do I believe about this? And it sounds good. Look at verse 14. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Know exactly how to say it and deceive. In cunning craftiness. Well, I think they're good men. I beg to differ. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If they were good men, or should I say good women preachers who write those books. Who are you talking about? You shouldn't be reading Beth Moore. Let me just go down this list. And I'm not fussing at you. But if you have the book Jesus Calling, you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. It's not doctrinally sound. Matter of fact, it's blasphemous in my opinion. So I never saw that. It's because it is crafted cunningly. They lie in wait to deceive. You say, how do you know that? Because they would check with the pastor of this local church before they espoused that doctrine if they weren't trying to deceive. I did not plan on getting stuck here, but it's good to get stuck here. Because it is a shame, and the devil has a feather in his cap, every new Christian that has stolen away from a pastor because somebody said, well, let me just tell you something. Or you need to hear this preacher. You need to read this book. And some of you asked me, is this book okay to read? That's you don't have to do that. It's pretty smart. They're tossed to and fro. Healthy churches build doctrinal strength so believers are not easily shaken. There's a reason why every Sunday school class has the same Sunday school lesson. From the adult class to the child's class. Why is that? One, I have a responsibility to know what everybody's being taught. I'm the pastor. I'm the overseer. Every teacher is an extension of the pastor. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, you teach that class the way I want you to teach that class. Well, I don't want to do that. Go get your own church. But I'm going to be held accountable. But I also want to know what doctrine is being taught. Because I want believers to grow. The greatest, this old King James Bible is what you need to grow. That's what we got to have. And I'm the overseer. That's why I got to move on. There's more points. See, the Word of God produces stability, discernment, conviction, clarity. A mature church is not easily deceived. I'm not against Christmas cantatas. Most of them are horrible, but I'm not against them. It's more important for people to hear the Bible taught on that Sunday than it is to hear a bunch of people sing. And if you're watching by live stream and you hear what I'm about to say and you're offended by it, I don't mean to offend you. This is what I believe in this local church. You don't have to listen to it. You'd be wise if you did. But wow, we service and the Holy Spirit broke out and all we did was sing and we didn't have any preaching. You didn't have church. You didn't have church. I'm sorry. But it's the preaching of the Word of God is what makes us stable. A mature church is not easily deceived. Number four. Is it okay if we move on? A healthy church speaks truth in love. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, Pastor, that didn't sound very loving. Well, when you speak the truth, it is loving. But you can be tactful in the way you say things. You know, when you're soul winning, you don't want to lead with, you're going to hell. And I haven't, this is probably a good time for me to say this. When you're given a gospel witness and somebody shuts you down, it's not time for you to condemn them to hell. Because you want to leave that seed planted and you want to leave that door open. Well, they need to know the truth. Well, they just told you to hit the road. They're not listening to you. Leave the gospel. This is a whole other thing. You're getting a lot tonight. Leave the gospel. I had to tell them. Well, see, love without truth is compromise. There's two extremes. We've talked about these extremes. Truth without love becomes harsh. There's a lot of criticism of Bible-believing churches in its excuses, but there is, sadly, some validity. They're hateful and mean and cruel. There are some of those. They use the Bible as a weapon. Truth is truth, and truth does not have to be weaponized. You turn truth loose, and it finds the error. But if you can make it harsh, and parents, you have authority and you have truth in your home, cool off before you start spouting off Bible verses. Because truth without love. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I mean, that doctor, I don't know why they told me. But if you keep doing that, you're going to die. If that's the case, I want them to tell me. That was such a mean doctor. I'm going to find another one. The other extreme is love without truth. That's compromise. You know, if you reject Christ, if you put your faith and trust in any church, in any ritual, instead of Christ, you will die and go to hell. People need to hear that. So it's a balance. The church speaks truth in love. Healthy church maintain that balance. See, a healthy church requires doctrinal conviction, but also compassion. We have to have that doctrinal conviction, but we must have compassion. I can be where I am on doctrine and I can still be compassionate. I can still be loving. See, this is what's going to help believers grow when you speak that truth in love, because it's an environment where truth is taught clearly. There's a lot of preachers, teachers, whatever, that they're not clear in their teaching. Well, the Bible might say, no, what thus saith the Lord? But correction is offered graciously. If you go to church and the Holy Spirit never corrects you or convicts you, there's a problem. Because the Word of God should do that. But correction can come graciously. Do you know part of, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we talk about the Word of God, part of the purpose of the Word of God, part of its job, responsibility is to correct you. The excuse so many Christians, well, they just want to try and change me. You should want to be changed. We should let the Bible change us. My mom told me how to take a bath. She's just trying to change me. Well, if you're still saying that at 1920, we got a problem. The same thing, if you've been saved any length of time, you should be wanting to change. There ought to be... Now, do we have the truth in the Word of God? Yes or no? I like to think that I'm pretty firm in what I believe. But you know what? You can correct graciously. You don't have to compromise. But you know what? You can encourage freely. I'm not perfect in this, but I believe I preach pretty straightforward. I believe I keep my stand pretty clear. But I like to think that I'm also encouraging, accessible. If I see you, I want to come speak to you. I'm not perfect in that. Sometimes y'all get me in a bad mood and I can't help it. I'm flesh too. You know, you can be an independent Baptist, you can be a fundamentalist, you can be all of those things, a disciple of Christ, and still be nice. That doesn't mean I'm going to compromise. It doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you the truth, because my first responsibility is to Him. But you know what? I can still encourage you. Even when there's accountability, we ought to practice it lovingly. See, truth and love work together. If my motivation of telling you truth is love, there we go. There are some things that I preach and some stands that I take is like, oh, this is going to be a battle. It may not be church-wide, but it may be with a certain pocket, certain individual, have dug in their heels. If I didn't love you, I'd just say, whatever. But it's that combination. Number five, a healthy church recognizes Christ as its head. Verse 15 again, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The church is ultimately, it's not built around a personality. It's not built around a program. It's not built around a tradition, a movement. The church is built around Christ. Christ directs the church. Christ strengthens the church. The more a church is centered on Christ, the healthier it becomes. And just because you say something points people to Christ doesn't mean it does. Just as an example, we got to change the services to make people feel more comfortable. I want Jesus to be comfortable. And if there's certain music and certain things that vex my spirit, certainly it would vex the Holy Spirit. It's built around Him. He's the head. And let me just make a practical application. I'll move to number six, which means you're not in charge. I'm not in charge. Well, the pastor ought, it shouldn't do this. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, my opinion is you're not the head. You're not the head. He's the head. Well, I get a vote. If he's the head, you don't get a vote. We're not voting on anything that Christ said, this is the way it is. He's the founder. He's the cornerstone. He's the head. What's there to vote about? We don't need to vote. Well, I have an opinion. Zip it and lock it and throw away the key. That just came to mind. I don't know why. It comes down to, do we want our way? Do we want a healthy church? I want to go to a healthy church. I want to be part of a healthy church. We all have to be careful. Christ is the head. Number six, a healthy church expects every member to contribute. Oh, I should have stopped at five, shouldn't I? A healthy church expects every member to contribute. We go down to verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. When that happens, what happens? According to the effectual working in the measurement of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So in order for it to make increase of the body, that takes the whole body fitly joined together. The church is described as a body, which means that every believer has a role. As I've already mentioned, healthy churches do not function with a few workers and many spectators. Every member finds a way to contribute. They serve, they encourage, they disciple, they give, they pray. Well, I wanted to serve in this way, but there's no opportunity. I want to serve in this way. Well, let me tell you something. The doors are open for you to come and to be a part of that. Let me tell you how else you can serve. That offering plate's not going to skip you when it goes by. Well, I'm not wealthy. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Contribute. Just contribute. You know it costs no money to pray? Pastor, I have a special offering. I don't have anything to give. Now, let me just say something right there. Most people who say they have nothing to give have something to give. You just don't want to cut anything out so that you can give. But if you're in a position, and I'm not minimizing this, we don't have anything to give, you know what you can do? You can pray for something. God can give it. That's contributing. When believers support one another, what's going to happen? The body's going to grow stronger. Growth happens when everyone participates. Number seven, this is the last one. A healthy church produces spiritual strength and love. This is, if I can say it like this, this church is a battle-hardened church. We've been through spiritual battles. This church is a doctrinally sound church, which more than ever in our nation's history is counter-cultural to society. Where we hold the line of what the Bible teaches, there are even, quote-unquote, which are not, but like-minded Baptists who would look at us as mean-spirited. We're doctrinally sound. We're not budging. We're not compromising. Generation rises up and say, Pastor, we want to change the music. Too bad. We want to change the program. Too bad. Are we going to vote on it? I just did. Too bad. But you cannot be honest and say this is not a loving church. I would dare say this is the most loving church. Because you can do those things and produce spiritual strength and love. Notice verse 16, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, we're growing, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, spiritual maturity always produces love. If something that is emphasized, if something that is preached, the pastor, that pastor, that shepherd and teacher guides in a certain way, the Word of God is doing its work. I mean, sometimes we're uncomfortable. We have to grow. You ever your children, they're going through those growing pains, spiritual growing pains. We're adjusting. We're making sacrifices. We're growing in His likeness. that spiritual maturity is going to produce love, because there are byproducts of spiritual growth. It's not superficial politeness. It's, you know, I don't know the best way to say this. I don't necessarily want to belong to a church where it's like Chick-fil-A. My pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I'm looking at you and like, this ain't your pleasure. I can tell by the look on your face. You know, they hand you your drink, just tip it over. It's still your pleasure. You know, it's just that automatic. And I always pick on Chick-fil-A because it's overrated chicken. But, you know, it's that automatic. They're trained. And it's good training. Now, if we ever have to do drive-through church, I want their training, because they know how to do that. But you get the point I'm making. We ought to say, hey, God bless you, because there's something inside of our heart that I want God to bless you. I love you because there's something. We're trying to encourage and pray, because spiritual maturity brings that about. See, spiritual maturity brings about patience. Patient with yourself. Patience with others. It brings about forgiveness. See, if you're going to grow spiritually, this church is growing and maturing, then there ought to be forgiveness. If you're growing in Christ, you ought to have more forgiveness in your heart than you had in the past. Kindness, humility, sacrifice. See, a healthy church grows not only in knowledge, but in love. See, a spiritually growing, maturing church where everybody is growing, we are navigated by love. We have to be forgiving with one another. We have to reach more people with the gospel. We have to make more sacrifices. As we grow, that love in our heart grows for people. See, it's something when we grow in knowledge, you can grow in knowledge without love, but if we are maturing more like Christ, we're going to grow in that love. Let me finish it this way. The goal is Christ-likeness. What's my Christian as a goal? Christ-likeness. And what's my goal as a Christian? To be like Christ. See, the ultimate measure of church health is not attendance, it's not buildings, it's not programs. Now, I check the attendance every week. I want more buildings, and I'm looking at the programs. But that's not what means we're healthy. There's cathedrals that have unhealthy churches in them. But I'll tell you this, I've preached in foreign lands where they don't have nothing, and it feels healthier than I've preached in some churches in the United States of America. Because believers have matured. You know, that's the question. Are people becoming more like Christ? Mom and dad, let me help you. Young couples, young families. And just to remind you, you're here because God has brought you here. But you should stay here because God has brought you here. Well, we don't have this program, we don't have that. And when I was growing up, we had this, but we don't have this anymore. Is there spiritual growth? Is there spiritual maturity? Are people becoming more like Christ or less like Christ? Are we spiritually stable, biblically grounded, actively serving, deeply loving, growing continually? Are you more like Christ today than you were yesterday? It's a good question. See, the goal and the whole theme of this message, if I could use that word, is not for us just to have a place of activity. And let me just say this, there's a lot of churches that believe right have drifted. And I wish they could capture this, but they never will. They've drifted because they've copied churches that are doctrinally wrong. They've copied their activity. I don't know if you catch the gravity of that. They have all this activity, seems like a good idea, but they don't have the doctrine, they don't have spiritual maturity. You can go to these places and be busy. But if you don't have the Word of God, you're not going to mature. And sometimes you have to take away the Word of God to be busy with other things. That's why I know some of you that have young kids, in midweek service, you're, oh boy, I'm going to wrestle them the whole service. It's just, you're just not, but you believe me when I say it, there, it's better for them to be in here getting something than to be entertained. They're spiritually, I want spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. You say, but I can't listen, I can't learn. You're learning patience. You are learning. Hey, let's keep the goal growing spiritually. You know, I'm okay being busy, but how are we being busy? If you're too busy as a Christian, you don't have time to read your Bible, you're too busy. Too busy. You don't have time to pray, you're too busy. Pastor, I'm going to serve here and here and here. Okay, well, how's everything else? Make sure you're growing spiritually, maturing. That's the healthy church. It's a healthy church. So how can you help the church be more healthy? Grow. Mature. Listen to one more Bible lesson. Guard yourself as you grow. Okay, while I'm growing, okay, I don't know, understand everything pastor's talking about, YouTube theologians and internet stuff and this and that, but I better stay away from it. You know it's not wise to hand a 13-year-old kid an iPhone. Nothing to do with the message, I just felt like throwing that in. It's not wise to hand a 16-year-old one either. Some of you are 45, it's not wise for you to have one either. Well, say, what's the point of that? There's some things you have to guard them from. I'm ready for it. No, you're not. You've never been 13 before. You think you're ready. It's like the senior class, I'm ready for the world. Done, they move the tassel, and then they realize, can I go back to school? I'm not quite ready. So there's things you have to, that's why God gave you a pastor. Listen to this, guard yourself. Let's stay in the Word of God, let's spiritually mature. Father, help us to be a healthy church.